Welcome to Home Downtown Podcast. We hope these messages inspire you to live a life of creativity, love, and faith.
Amen. Hey, if you're here for the first time, or you haven't been here all year, or maybe you missed a couple of weeks, we are currently in a season right now at Home, and we're in this season of faith. So at the beginning of this year, Brooke and I felt the Lord kind of putting on our hearts to find a word for this whole year that we could kind of rest on for the next 12 months. And the word that we received was faith. And so when you're going through a difficult season or you're going through a hard month or whatever, Brooke and I kind of are still kind of recovering from a difficult season. And so we're just resting on that word faith. Like when you find yourself feeling lonely, choose faith that God will come through for you and bring you community. When you find yourself afraid of finances, have faith that, like what Ross said, that giving, you know, you'll get more. Like, have that faith. And it's something that we kind of just learned. Like, we've been saved for a couple of years, but I think it's really something that you have to go through the fire to kind of figure out what you actually believe. And so I wanted to share that. It's not a series. It's not just a devotional, because I think it might take a whole year for us to actually have real faith. Like, it takes a while. Kind of what Brooke said again, like, sometimes you're not just healed, like, in a moment, but you have to kind of allow God to do it for you. And so that's what we're doing with this word faith. But I wanted to just read something real quick before we really start. And it's kind of the verse for the year. It's Ephesians 3:20. We got it tatted on our necks, and it hurt, but it was worth it. But it reads this: "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So this is where you can find us, in this season of choosing faith and believing for far more. Let's not settle for depression. Let's expect joy. Let's not settle for isolation. Let's seek community. I think it's just so easy for us to want something but to not want to go for it. Like, oh, I would love to have friendships, but I'm going to stay inside every day. I would love to be able to fall in love, but I will never go on a date or talk to the opposite gender. Some of y'all, I mean, it's time to find the lover, and there might be in the room. We'll set you up. But tonight, as we jump into this message, it's titled The Brand. Anybody see that cool jellyfish video on the feed? Nobody saw it. Okay, three of you. Great, great. If you follow us on Instagram, you could peep it. It's just jellyfish. It just felt like a vibe, but I don't think it is. But we're going to pray right now, so would you just join me? So, Father, right now we come before you. We love you. We're so thankful for what you're doing. God, I ask that you would meet all of us right now in this time. God, that we maybe showed up to Home Downtown tonight one way, but I ask that we would leave a different way. Father, that we would leave closer to you, more in love with you, more understanding of who we actually are in you. God, I pray all this in your name, and everybody said, amen. So I'm going to need some participation tonight. I just want to ask a question, and so just shout out some answers. I know we're scared of people hearing our voices, but listen, at Home Downtown, we want to hear you. It's not just the Jordan show. It's not just the worship team show or the Ross show. Like, this is a community, so this is your opportunity to shout at me. And what I'm going to ask you is, what are some of your favorite brands? Like, just Carhartt. I knew that was coming. If you know Ross, you know. So shout out at me. What's some good brands? Dutch Bros, Chipotle.
Kirkland Signature.
No. No. Kirkland's. Oh my gosh. Nike? Amen. Topo is cool. Adidas. Goodwill. You're from Shaun the Sheep to Goodwill, I swear, dog. Sam? Hey, that's good. Samsung. I don't know. Hey, come on now. Chipotle. That was it. We've heard that a couple of times. I do love Carhartt, actually. I love Nike too. I had a guy who was going to bring some stuff, but because of the rally, he could not get out of his neighborhood. He said there was cars like blocking the way. Yeah, PJ drove here for an hour. Can we make some noise for PJ? The dude drives an hour to church. Beautiful guy right there. But I want to ask, what makes you a fan of these brands? Like, isn't every t-shirt and shoe company and coffee shop basically the same thing?
No.
Quality, okay.
Jason Momoa.
This freaking guy. Did anybody see that Jason Momoa commercial in the Super Bowl? Dude, that was so funny. I was like, oh my gosh. But, so I remember being in fifth grade. I was living in Washington. We were living in Tacoma, Washington. Some people say the Tacoma aroma because it's like a gross, smelly place. Yeah. But I remember being in church, and you know, all the cool kids at church always walked in with like a coffee, you know? I mean, we have it. If you don't got it in your hand, like, I mean, I don't know. But all the cool kids always had coffee. Maybe this is true at your college too. I assume it is, but people come in, like, if you have a drink, it's like, oh, like, I mean business, or there's something cool about me. But the really cool kids in fifth grade growing up, the cool kids had coffee, but the really cool kids had Starbucks. I know, it's different now, a different culture now, but this is like way back in the day. This is like 3 years ago when I was in fifth grade. Some people are like doing math, like, that's not true. But Starbucks was like the cool, cool thing to have. And it's funny now because a lot of people go there because I think Third Wave's bigger now, and like I think Dutch Bros kind of took the place of Starbucks in the Springs at least. Dutch Bros people are really nice. But you know what's funny is that the cool kids had Starbucks, and the nerdy kids had the fuzzy cup from the church cafe. I think we have a picture of it. I think this one. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So if you had this cup, like, I would just like walk right past. Like, y'all can miss me with that cup, the fuzzy cup. But I remember wanting so badly to beg my mom, "Mom, please, before we go to church, can we go to Starbucks?" And all I did was drink Frappuccinos. Like, it wasn't like, I mean, I was in fifth grade. Some of y'all still drinking Frappuccinos. I want to start a little hashtag called Frat Boy. Can we, Frat Boy, I'm trying to start this. Some of y'all still frat boys, frat ladies. I don't know, it didn't sound as good. It's like a play, like Frat Boy. You guys look confused. But you know, like the brand of Starbucks, you can kind of tell it's different, not only because the logo, but because when you get like a Frappuccino or an iced latte or whatever, the straw is green. She goes, "Yeah, duh." Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Jade. So the straw is green, like it's different. You can tell, like no other shops had these green straws. And so I want everyone to look under their seats real fast. Just feel underneath there. We got a little gift for you. Just a little something special for you. Raise it up when you get it. Put it up. Put it up. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Put them up. Okay, so I want you to hold on to this. Hold on to this. This is homework, y'all. Welcome to church. Hold on to this straw and bring it next week, okay? You'll see. Bring it next week. Bring it next week. And if there is a rip in that paper, so help me God. Just kidding. So I grew up in fifth grade. I always wanted this green straw because I wanted people to know that there was something different about me. Like, I went to the place that was expensive. Like, there was something, I was special, I was different. This green straw meant so much to me. And it meant that you didn't just go to the church cafe. It meant that you didn't just get coffee from home. It meant that you were special, that you were classy, that you had some more money in the bank. It meant that your mom and dad actually listened and cared about you. They let you go. That's what I told my mom, at least. But I believed something different about myself when I had the green straw in my hand. I believed something different about, I remember being in fifth grade, and when my mom would finally let me go through the Starbucks drive-thru, she'd finally give in. And then when grandma was in town, we would go twice a day. My grandmother still goes to Starbucks twice a day. and she's done it for like 40 years. And she's probably given them like, what, $50,000? I don't know. Every drink's $12,000, so. but my mom would finally say yes. I remember I'd walk into church different. I would hold myself differently. I'd walk past, like, what up, Michael? Hey. I'm, like, flexing on him, like walking in, like sipping on it. But, and I remember, like, not wanting to drink the whole thing. That way I could hold it until the end of service. Like, it's just stupid. It would be warm. the vanilla frappuccino, whatever it was. Frat boy. But the truth is that it really wasn't the beverage that I wanted. It really wasn't Starbucks that I wanted. It was love and respect that I wanted. I wanted people to see me. I wanted to be noticed. And here, I'm 25 years old, and I still want people to care for me and notice me and see who I am and think there's something special about me. I want to be different. I want to be unique. But I also want to fit in. And I thought if people saw that I had something different, that I was wearing something different or was holding something different, or you could tell the green straw was different than the uncool people or the regular people, that maybe I would be something that I thought I wasn't. And I think a lot of Christians begin a relationship with Jesus and we go on living as if we're still in need. And we go on searching for maybe the right job, the right branding, to be who we want to be. Maybe we go through life and we try to find the right spouse so that we can be completed. Listen, your life doesn't start when you get married. Your life already started. We go through life, we try to find the right car, the right friend group, the right job, the right clothes, shoes, to kind of become who we want to be. Like, if we were a movie, we'd want to have all the right cast and the right location. And we just want the right branding for our life. Like, I want everything that I wear and everything that I am to look exactly how I want it to look so I can portray who I want you to think that I am. And I want to read a story tonight where, spending time in this, meditating on this, this was something I got a couple months ago when I was saving it. I felt like the Lord wanted me to save it for a specific time, and this is that time, I believe. And so we're going to read about Jesus and the disciples, but really what we're reading about is when Jesus tells us really who we actually are and what we can actually do with what we already have. You know, Jesus tells us not to worry about finances. He tells us not to worry about anything, to be still and know that he's God. And yet we're hustling, we're rushing, we're grinding, and we're begging to get what we think we need to become who we think we should be. And we start to think that it's what we wear that would make us who we are. Maybe you think that the right job will make you who you're meant to be, but, you know, God doesn't look at the outside. He looks at the inside. He looks at the heart. And, you know, you want to know what the saddest thing about all of this is for our generation, you know, people that, I mean, I struggle with it too. Like, I don't know if you've noticed, but I literally only wear these pants. And I try to only wear black shirts. It's an insecurity, but, and I found myself, like, I want to always wear my beanie because I hate my haircut. And so tonight, this is my hair. I was so embarrassed the last month. I got a haircut, I went to Great Clips. And I know. And that's why, I mean, if you have seen me the last month, I've literally had a hat on every single minute of it. I've slept with it on, showered, not really. But, like, so, and maybe I have head lice, or maybe it's yogurt. But I think the biggest problem with all of these things and all of these failures that we're running into is that everything that we're focusing on is all self. It's all about ourselves. We walk into church and we're afraid that people are going to see what we're wearing and not like it. We walk into church and we're afraid that our haircut is going to mean that people won't love us or care for us. this is true for me, and like, I have to be here. You don't have to be here, but I do. And it's all centered on self-image, on self-preservation, on self, I don't even know the right word, but it's all about exalting yourself. And when you're all about yourself, there's a word for that. It's called selfish. And when you're selfish, you cannot see. When you're selfish, everything you see, you want for yourself. You want it for yourself so that you can become who you want to be, who you want to portray to other people. You know, when you meet someone, you might as well just hand them a mirror because you'd rather see yourself anyway. And some of us are drowning in our own self-image, and it's been years and years, and we're like, why can't I have good relationships, or why can't I get what I want, or God, why are you not coming through for me? Father, please come through. And he's like, stop caring about yourself more than other people. Like, all you pray for is yourself. All you look for is things that you can get for yourself. All you work for is yourself. And it's part of our human nature. And as Christians, we get to live differently. We get to live differently. Notice how I worded that. We get to. Some of us are crying out to God for breakthrough. But what if I told you your breakthrough is not in you being the best in your city? What if I told you breakthrough is you being the best for your city? What if your breakthrough isn't you being the best person in church? What if it's you being the best person for your church? Maybe it's not being the best employee. Maybe it's being the best for your job. Maybe it's not being the best husband. Maybe it's being the best husband for your wife. And these are all things that I've been thinking of this week. And if you, honestly, if you don't remember anything else, remember that. Because as Christians, we're not here to show off how good we are, to flex our spiritual muscles, to judge other people, to walk in and be like, well, I did this. Have you done that? We're actually meant to bring the love of Jesus with us, not push others away from it. Maybe your breakthrough is not you being the best in, maybe it's you being the best for. I want to be the best pastor for the city, not in the city. So yesterday, I think it was, or Tuesday, I went through a couple church websites and I tried to find young adults pastors, and it was actually really difficult to find any. But what I did was I sent emails to them and I just said, thank you for loving Jesus and serving my generation. I want you to know at Home Downtown, we're here for you if you need anything. I know I don't know you, but I'm here for you. If you need anything from our community, let me know. And no one responded, but maybe they will. And even if they don't, it's not about me. It's about them. I want other people to know that I'm not trying to be the best in, I'm trying to be the best for. If you have your Bible, let's open up to Matthew 14. We're going to start at verse 13. Matthew 14, verse 13. And we'll go to verse 21. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Let's stop. So what just happened was Jesus, he actually hears of John the Baptist. He was beheaded. And Jesus finds out and he's upset. And so he goes to a desolate place, it says. And he tries to get away. But when he arrives, people are already there waiting for him. So I'm going to finish this story, but I want you to put yourself in that place. Someone that's very close to you is killed. So you try to get away, but you're met by people. Let's finish. We're at verse 15. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We only have 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And it took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. So we're going to talk about the rest of the story, but I want you to put yourself in the place of Jesus. Like I said, John the Baptist is beheaded. You go to a place to get away, and there's people waiting for you. I mean, crowds of people waiting for you. I mean, think about it. What would you do? What would you do? I think most of us, if we're being honest, would turn that boat around, go somewhere else. I mean, let's not play games. We don't want to just go and like serve all the time. When we're going through a hard season, we'd rather stay isolated. We'd rather run away. Most of us would probably be upset or maybe angry. We'd feel like no one cared about what we were going through. We'd feel even more upset than we did before. But Jesus here is led to compassion. He begins to work healing the sick. And if that doesn't blow you away, I don't know what will. I mean, Jesus, again, is led to compassion. And he was healing until the evening, so he was there for a while. He was just healing people. And then the disciples came and they said, "Hey, we got to get out of here. It's time for dinner. We're starving. Let's go. Send everyone away." And another thing happens. Jesus, again, is led to compassion. So not only did he not have time to be alone and process, it's so late. And then again, he says, actually, let's give them more than healing. Let's also feed them. Let's meet their spiritual and physical needs. He says, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. He doesn't say, no, let me give them something to eat. Just wait a minute. He tells the disciples that you give them something to eat. Then the disciples chose to see what was instead of what could be. They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And y'all have heard this story before. This is like Sunday school 101. Like, I remember being in church when I was a kid and they had like the flannel thing. Anyone have the flannel sheet? Just me and Jade out here. Okay, David. Right, the brother. But just because you heard this doesn't mean that God doesn't want to speak to you. I just want to share that with you. So what Jesus does is he doesn't care that they say they don't have enough. He actually does it, and they feed not only 5,000, but counting women and children, it was probably closer to 15,000 people, which means that he was met by probably 15,000 people. So not only was it like, oh, there's like, 50 people here. I mean, he was met by crowds. Like rallies of people, so many people there. And he saw this opportunity. And instead of turning away selfishly, he was led with compassion. See, Jesus has a branding too. What a branding is a visual representation or any representation of a difference. It's an indicator, that's what I meant, an indicator of a difference. You can tell it's really Jesus because when most people would be led to selfishness, he was led to selflessness. He was led to compassion. He had an opportunity to be selfish. And you know what? Nobody would have probably been upset. The disciples who were closest to him probably would have been like, yeah, we understand. But that doesn't mean that that's the way that Jesus would have done it. And that doesn't mean that that's the way that we're meant to live either. See, the disciples, this is really the main part of this, that the disciples said that we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. What they saw was that they did not have the right resources for the job. They didn't just tell Jesus that we don't have enough. They told him after he told them to feed them. So he says, go and feed them. And they say, we cannot. And some of us are sitting in here and Jesus has said, serve. And you are saying, I cannot. Jesus is saying, trust me. And you are saying, I cannot. Because you think that you don't have the right branding. You think that you don't have enough followers on Instagram to influence anybody. You think you don't have the right job to speak to people. You think you don't have the right car to be the right person. You think that you don't have the right job to be a minister. Listen, it doesn't matter where you are. It matters whose you are. And you're a son and daughter of God. And that is simply enough. Jesus responds to the disciples, and he's telling you tonight that what you have is all you need. He's saying, with me, you had everything that you need. In Ephesians 3:20, again, it says, he is able to do far more than we ask or think, according to the work within us. And so the reason I can stand up here and proclaim this boldly is because the Bible says that it's the work within us, not the outer works, but it's the inner works. So the power of God rests on the inside of you, not the outside of you, not who you are, but whose you are, which is inside. People told me I had short-term memory loss. Listen, I don't care. Jesus is working within me. Even if I can't speak correctly enough for you to like me, the seeds that I plant internally, Jesus can grow. Even if I don't know how to dress right or speak right or be culturally relevant to all people or influence people, or maybe no one knows my name. I've never been asked to speak anywhere except one place. And when I did speak, that was the last time they ever met. So, It's so funny and sad at the same time. I don't think it was because of me, but I'll never know. But I truly believe that if we could get this as a community, as believers in Jesus, if we could understand that what we need is from the Lord and not from anything else, we would actually be able to see far more than we ask or think. We could experience far more. But so many of us are settling inside of ourselves for what we can do. We're settling for being selfish with our life. And there's times of comfort, but there's also times of challenge. And you know, if we don't understand how Jesus would respond to people who are hurting, I don't think we'll understand how Jesus is responding to us when we're hurting. I'm believing for the church in 2020, for this community, to rise up in compassion and in power and in faith. That's why we have this word for 2020. Because so many of us have gone on believing that just enough is okay. But Jesus wants to do far more abundantly than we ask or think. And we lost a baby in 2019, but I can stand up here and know that right now, as Brooke is pregnant, that we're going to see far more than we ask or think. And man, you know, it's a little bit scary to have an expectation of life now, but ain't nothing going to stop me from believing in God's goodness. I promise you that. And you know, it's crazy because when you live this type of life with Jesus, people are going to say things to you that want to bring you back. They want to bring you back to reality. They want to bring you back to truth. They want to bring you back to, well, don't get your hopes up. Well, the crazy thing is that Jesus is my hope, and he did die, but then he rose again. And so I can have my hopes as high as I want them to be. And you know what's crazy is that he'll actually do far more than I expect. And far more than I think. So I'm going to raise my hopes all the way up. I mean, I'm just here to tell you guys that you don't need the best clothes to do the job that God has put on your life. You don't need the right people in your life to do it. You don't need the right car or job or spouse. You don't need the right financial situation to do it. You don't even have to be fully understanding of what the gospel really is. You don't have to go to school. You don't have to have a perfect family. All of those things will come. I mean, God is a redemptive God. He loves taking things that were messed up and flipping them for good. I would love to meet in a bar someday just to have this redemptive story. And I want you to know that you don't need more money to accomplish what God has put on your life. You know how much the budget was for Home Downtown in year one? It was $1,000 for the whole year. How much is that per month? Quick math, go. 80 bucks. 80, 90. Quick math. And like, it was hard because like Brooke and I, we just love dreaming. Like I wanted to have people show up and we like just give them a gift like every time or like, you know how much even the stickers were? Like, I really felt like we should do that. Because I love that Dutch Bros does that. Like, everywhere you go, like, you see some of the Dutch Bros sticker, you're like, hey. Frat boy! Like, Dutch Bros is a big Frappuccino stand. But listen, we gave you the green straw, and I know it's kind of cheesy, but it took so much work to put it underneath. Shout out to Abby, Brooke, and Maya, and Jeremiah. Give them a big hand. Come on. Give it up. They're taping it underneath. But the great thing is what I've learned from fifth grade to now is that I don't need a green straw to be loved. I don't need the green straw to be somebody that people will care for. I don't need the branding to be who God wants me to be. The only branding I need is the branding of Jesus. And he's put it on me. He's marked me. He's actually branded me as a son. And you cannot remove a branding. You cannot remove it. You know, you don't need the brand. You actually are the brand. People will want what you have when you allow it to be outside. When you allow your insides to go outside. When the love that you experience with Jesus, when you allow it to get out and seep through, when you're not afraid, because listen, I said it last week, I'll say it again. You don't need love from anybody else because you already have it all with Jesus. You don't got to impress nobody. You don't got to dress right for someone to care for you. You already have everything that you need, and so you can give it away for free. You can just give it out because you already have everything that you need. You already have the right branding. You can wear whatever you want to wear. You can do whatever you want to do, but just know that Jesus already has enough for you, and so therefore you don't need anything. You actually are everything. And you know, branding is an indication of a difference. And you know what I've kind of heard people say? I'll say a couple funny ones, and then I'll say the real ones. There's a couple funny ones. Somebody said, I think it was to Ross, that, oh, Home Downtown. Oh, yeah, everyone, what did he say? Everyone wears black pants there and skateboards or something like that. Somebody said, oh, a bunch of hipsters. Oh, I won't fit in there. My phone's ringing. But people have said things like, oh, home, yeah, I wouldn't fit it there. I don't drink coffee. I'm not a barista. And I'm just like, it's probably a babysitter. Check for lice. people have said like some silly stuff. But what I've also heard is that you can tell it's Home Downtown because they're crazy. And you know what I'm expecting for 2020? The testimony of Home Downtown that people will say, you can tell it's Home Downtown because it's fearless. You can tell it's Home Downtown because they're full of compassion. You can tell it's Home Downtown because I'm more important to them than they are to themselves. And like, there's times, there's so many times, even today, for resting and receiving. But the reason that I receive is so that I can give. I don't want to be an obese person just laying around like, God, feed me again, just rolling around the house. Like, if you're getting poured into, well, where are you pouring out to? Because if you only receive, you have a cap. But when you're pouring out, you can keep receiving fresh wine, new water. And the Bible also says that they will know you. In John 13, they'll know you by the love that you have for one another. I shared it at men's night on Tuesday night. Jesus says this in John 13, love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. So what this tells me here is that when you tell Jesus, like, yo, these 5 loaves and 2 fish, I it doesn't look like enough, but I'm going to have faith that you're telling the truth, and I'm going to use what I have. When you live this type of life, listen, it says, by this, all people will know that you are. And so I want you to know that when you live this type of life, people are going to notice. We asked our men's group on Tuesday, what's the difference between you and anybody else? And I had to ask myself the same question. You know what the distinction is for Christians is love. The distinction is for us is our compassion. The distinction is that we are the brand. When we go somewhere, we set the difference in the room. Team, you guys can come back up. And I'm here to tell you tonight that what we're doing here is we're not trying to become the best for ourselves. We're not trying to become the best in. We're trying and are the best for our city, for our generation. And it's not because we're educated, because we're not. It's not because everything always goes right, because it surely does not. It's not because we have enough influence or there's thousands of people coming so our tithe and budget is so huge. It's simply because we understand that we are sons and daughters of God. And in that belief lies the power to do what God is asking us to do. Let's stand together. We're just going to take a few moments here. We're going to worship, but really what I want to do is just open it up. And when I say open it up, I mean that you can come up to the front if you want to. You can kneel at your pew. There's not a lot of room, though. You can lift your hands up. You can cry out to God. Because some of us have lived for far too long believing that we cannot do what God is asking, believing that we are not enough. And tonight, I would love for you to understand that you are enough in Jesus. And so with everyone's eyes closed for this moment, I want to open it up again for those of us in the room who maybe haven't walked with the Lord before. Maybe we did and we walked away. Maybe we're not sure of what we believe. But I want you to know that just because you've made some mistakes, just because you came from a rough past, just because you sin, does not mean that you cannot belong. And so if there's anybody in the room, I'm just going to give an opportunity to lift your hand up. Everyone's eyes are closed. No one's going to see but me. Now I just want to pray a prayer over us. So if you feel like you want to give your life to Jesus and allow him to work through you and in you and to wash you of your sins and to give you joy again, I want you to raise your hand right now. With everyone's eyes closed, you can raise your hand. Amen. So I'm just going to pray for these people. So Father, we love you. Father, I'm so thankful for this place. I'm so thankful that you're here. God, we've never had to beg you to show up. You just are always here before we even walk in. You're just like, hey. So God, right now, I pray for these 3 individuals right now. God, would you move on their heart? I ask that you would cleanse them, and I thank you that you have cleansed them of all sin, of all failure. God, and that you actually wash them clean. You didn't just cover it up. You took it away. You died for their sin, so now they can live free. God, I thank you that none of us are pretending to be good, that we just actually are good now because of you. So, Father, we pray right now for these three souls, that they would align with you. God, that you would meet them right now, and that this community would be one that would surround people in love. I'm going to ask that we all repeat this because no one prays alone here. So let's just repeat this for these people. Say, Father, I thank you that you died. And I thank you that you rose again. And I pray that I would believe that you are enough. I ask that you would be my strength. And I thank you that you are my joy. Would you wash me of my sins? And give me a new heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, can we just make some noise for three people? Wow. Hey, we're just going to praise God. Let's just celebrate what God's doing. Because listen, like, I don't care how bad your week was or your day was. You're still free. Like you still free, boo. So let's just praise God. If you want to come up to the front, go to the side. Again, that is open for you. I hate the pews. So if you want to get out of there, I don't blame you. But yeah, let's just praise, team. Let's just go. Whatever you feel, let's just hit it. Jesus, we love you. Everybody said again, amen. Let's go.